Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Are you ready? Here we go.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, this segment, we go back out to Arizona. We're going to get quickly to Andrew Wenger, and we thank him for sitting through the break here as the Dynamo complete their first game against live competition from Major League Soccer standpoint, 2-0 win over New England. Andrew, thank you for being patient, waiting through that break. How are you? Okay. Andrew, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, good, Andrew. How are you? Thank you for being patient, waiting through the break. How about a couple of thoughts on the 90 minutes as you guys continue to work towards opening day?
Yeah, it was a good exercise for us, I thought. Clearly, it's the first game against MLS competition, and we can be sharper and smoother with the ball, but what Wilmer asked us to work on, some movements, some defending, the way we worked as a group, I think there were some positive things there tonight.
Andrew, with all the turnover, and you're one of the ones that remained here with the Dynamo, with all the turnover, just give me sort of a vibe around the team now with all these new interesting and exciting personalities.
Yeah, well, I think that's probably like a two-part question there, right? So clearly there's the part of off the field, getting to know everyone, learning, figuring out how they operate and seeing what the jokes are and what the banter is along in the locker room, and then on the field is trying to figure out how they want to play and what they're looking to do. And then also there's the thing is there's so much turnover. Everyone's competing for spots, which is healthy, especially in preseason and for the course of the year.
Yeah, the roster, the level of competition, you don't even have to be a genius to look at it. You look on paper and you just see, boy, there is a tremendous amount of competition. You yourself, you had a solid season last year. Obviously, you guys want to get into the playoffs here, turn this thing around. Talk a little bit about Wilmer and his messaging so far and maybe the difference in him and the former coach, Owen Coyle.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't want to talk too much on the past, but I think so far what's happened, what we've done with Wilmer has been positive, and what his ideas have been exciting to try to implement. I mean, from day one, he's tried to put out a plan of how we want to play, and it's exciting, and it's attacking-minded, and that's great to hear.
Is it similar to what was attempted before but might look a little bit better just based on some of the quality of players brought in?
Sorry, say that again?
Is it similar to the 4-3-3 that Owen Coyle tried to implement? And is it maybe just looking a little bit better just based on the quality of some of the players that are brought in?
I would say a little bit of both. I think it's a bit more structured in what it is, and it's pretty bit more rigid in the sense of what the idea is that we want to do. But there's still that free-flowing opportunistic creativeness that's been there in the past. And then, I mean, obviously we've signed some great players, and that always helps things no matter what system or what ideas are trying to be implemented.
Well, listen, Andrew, we're going to let you go because I know you just played a game. Thank you very much for being patient and waiting through the commercial break, and thanks for sharing some fresh thoughts after this MLS game.
Absolutely. Beautiful. Go on.
All right, that's Andrew Wenger. We appreciate him jumping on. That's great. And you get something fresh from Tucson, Arizona, where the Dynamo tonight 2-0 over New England. Look, this is an exercise in getting prepared for the season for coaches and players. It's nothing more. Don't read too heavy into it. Then again, you can see subtleties if you're really paying attention here. Second goal was Elise set up by just a side footed ball across the face of goal, and Elise comes in and side foots it in, Alex setting him up. And then the first goal was scored from Kubo Torres. So, you know what? Torres has scored in a number of friendlies so far. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's better than not scoring in friendlies. And you can tell me whatever the competition is, it doesn't matter. It's very, very important. All right, so we keep things rolling here tonight, and I love this. We still have an interview with Darren Powell, the head coach of San Antonio FC of the USL, but right now joining me, television partner, former Dynamo defender as a center back. He was an MLS All-Star. He's Eddie Robinson. Eddie, thank you for coming on.
Appreciate you having me, Glenn. I can't believe that I haven't ruined any chance I have. Every time I come on here, you tell me you're never going to have me back, but you keep having me back.
I never do that. And every time I see those food postings on Instagram, it it just motivates me to have you on the show more. All right, so did you get a chance to catch the Dynamo on the internet here against New England or not?
I did.
Give us some preseason thoughts.
I had to go to the grocery store, but I got on just after the 20th minute. I watched the rest of the game. I did.
Yeah, so give us, you know, you've been through the routine of preseason. Give us some preseason thoughts.
Well, I'm a little bit confused. The Dynamo have three games, and a few weeks, not quite 3 weeks, until their first game. And I was hoping to see what may have looked like, at least the starts of, a first 11 for the Dynamo against a first 11 for the New England Revolution. We saw the New England Revolution put out probably their best 11, give or take one or two guys in the first period. The Dynamo didn't do that. Agus Garcia was out there, who I think is the best center back the Dynamo have. Boniac Garcia was out there. Teller Derrick was out there. Marmanotis was out there. And then in the second half, obviously, as you see in preseason, there were wholesale changes. But it was a Dynamo 11 that played against some draft picks and academy players from the New England Revolution. I want to see Wilmer Cabrera try to take this group of guys, which I did a little math after seeing the lineup and the roster that they have in Tucson. 60% of the players that are in Tucson for the Dynamo did not spend the entire season with the Dynamo last year. 60%. Now, I've talked about in previous places this preseason during this offseason about chemistry. You got to get your chemistry right. You want to see your best 11 against your opponent's best 11. Whether or not you make one or two here or there to see about changes, I really hope that it's different in the next game. I was disappointed not to see the first 11 against, or what could be a first 11 against New England. Now, that being said, I did enjoy Albert Elise. I did enjoy Kubo Torres. I did enjoy Kyoto. Ricardo Clark and Alex Lima, as always, are very good in the middle of the field. A.J. De La Garza is going to become a fan favorite if he isn't already. There were a lot of positives in this game, but the biggest positive for me is putting out a perceived first 11 against the best your opponent has to offer. And if your coaches, if I'm a coach, if I'm Wilmer Cabrera, I'm calling Jay Heaps the day before and saying, hey, I'm going to put out a best 11 in the first half. Is that what you're going to do? I mean, you come to a compromise. You don't tell them who you're playing, but you say, hey, my better group's going out in the first half. Is that what yours is going to do? Can we work something out? And we didn't see that. The Dynamo need to see that.
Dynamo will play again Saturday and I think again the following Wednesday, so there's a lot to go. As Eddie said, the second half, Joe Willison goal, Remick, Machado, Leonardo, De La Garza was the back four, Cabezas, the holding midfielder, Alex Clark, and then Kyoto Torres and Elise. So, I mean, we all have to be careful not to read too much into preseason, although it is obviously a vital time to set the tone. And look, the Dynamo do want to come out of the blocks playing well, but as you mentioned, this is going to take a lot of time to put all of this together against MLS competition. Kubo Torres has scored in a couple of games now, even though it was against the college team and all. My statement to that is basically it's better than not scoring.
100%. And I think that Wilmer Cabrera and his coaching staff came into the season understanding that Cuba Torres is going to be here. His loan option wasn't picked up in Mexico. So how do we improve his confidence and get the best we can out of him? I think it was evident from the first day of training that Eric Torres is taking this extremely seriously because he's lost a lot of weight. He looks fitter than I've ever seen him. Now, let's get him some goals. Let's get his confidence up. Let's play him extended minutes against RGV FC and RGV, UT RGV. And yes, some lesser teams, lesser quality opponents. But as we saw tonight, a goal does so much for a player's confidence. And a kid like Eric Torres, who has so much potential, especially if he's playing with the kind of pace that we have seen on the wings, especially with Kyoto, for me, has been one of my favorite players in preseason. Getting the service with a Ricardo Clark and Alex Lima behind him, playing balls in, it can do wonders for Eric Torres, and the Dynamo may finally get out of him what they've paid for him.
Well, let's be honest. His failings and you know, his ownership in his performance in the last couple of years, he has never been set up to perform here. And anybody in that lone striker system last year, with the lack of a good enough wide game, which now has been upgraded monumentally with Elise and Kyoto, right? He's going to thrive, and Manotas is going to thrive. That's going to be a tremendous, I think, a tremendous battle for that central striker role with those two guys flanking him. I think that's one for fans to really keep an eye on. And then if you look at every line of the team, Eddie, I see incredible competition. I mean, if we're saying it's Cabezas, Alex, and Clark, we're just saying that. That means the likes of Andrew Wenger, Vicente Sanchez, Holland, who has got three lungs, the draft choice out of Hofstra, still trying to earn a contract. These guys are all going to be competing. Boniac Garcia, I forgot to put in there. And then at the back, you got competition. You mentioned Agus, and I think if he doesn't get hurt, he plays a lot more last year. And who's to say that Agus can't be a starter next to Machado in competition with Leonardo? So competition is throughout this roster now.
Listen, when I look at the center backs, Agus Garcia is slightly faster, I think, than the aging Leonardo, and Machado just hasn't looked to have any pace in preseason. So for me, Agus Garcia has to be in there. Otherwise, I think we're extremely vulnerable to balls in behind. As far as Eric Torres goes, we still have to wait and see him play against a first-choice defense from an opponent. We haven't seen that yet. It didn't happen tonight. Hopefully it happens on Saturday. But like we said, it's all about building confidence. And if that's what is being done, that's fantastic. But Wilmer Cabrera's got to give these guys a shot and see how they play against the first choice defense against an MLS team. Because if you don't, it could be so exciting seeing all of these stats and everything that's happened going into the first game on March 4th against Seattle. But it could be disappointing if you don't get these guys up against the best that you possibly can while you can, and make any tweaks that you think need to be made before the season starts.
That's going to come. I mean, they've got two more games out in Arizona. They'll have more here, but I do understand where you're coming from, but it's a time for players and coaches. I mean, you know, being through this, there's people doing a lot of different things, right? You got guys trying to make the team. You got coaches trying to work on tactics. You got individuals that are older that are working on fitness. There's a million and one things going on here.
Listen, Glenn, never in my 11-year career, and even, you know, now that you and I are going on our sixth year as the Dynamo broadcast team, I've never seen 60% turnover.
Yeah, this is
now
a big
you've
change.
Got two games left, two games before your first league game to figure out your chemistry, to figure out your first 11. They're running out of time. That is my only concern. The players that they have brought in, I think, if you get it right, the Dynamo will make the playoffs this year and will do very well. But you run it. That's my only concern, Glenn, is the amount of time left. You've got two games, 180 minutes to figure it out. That's not going to be easy.
Yeah, I thought they have one more game once they get back to Houston as well. I think there may be one more. But anyway, I understand your point. But there's also, I'm not hitting the panic button here that they didn't get up against the first team, New England, today. Let me move you on to today. You watched Champions League, right?
Yes, I did.
Oh, man, it's raining goals in that Champions League, isn't it, Eddie?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, let's go back to yesterday. We'll start yesterday.
Yep.
I mean, anybody that chose PSG to win 4-0 over Barcelona, even though it was in Paris, would have been considered a madman prior to kickoff. That was so much fun to watch. And Borussia Dortmund, somewhat disappointing, but not so bad. But then today, two games, 10 goals. I mean, Real Madrid goes down 1-0 on a fantastic goal by Insigne. I mean, what recognition from, what, 45
yards out? That was unbelievable.
To beat Keylor Navas. But then Benzema and company come back and win 3-1. But, golly, you just can't help but feel bad for Arsenal. They struggle the first 15, 20 minutes. They get a bit fortunate on Alexis Sanchez's penalty, and they go into halftime. And you've got to think, if you're Arsene Wenger, 1-1 with an away goal going home, we've got a chance here. And then, golly, three goals in, 15 minutes to start the second half. You feel bad for Arsenal, but man, for a neutral fan, what a fantastic day of Champions League.
Oh, and yesterday PSG's performance. And yeah, it's funny. You always hear the one commentator, Eddie, that says, I could see that coming. The 4-0 loss to Paris Saint-Germain.
No.
You know, I heard some guy from Europe saying, I could see it coming, and I knew it. And maybe he saw something, but nobody expects to see that type of a demolition of that team.
Whatever. And then you can't help but wonder now. I mean, Arsene Wenger, what's going to become of him towards the end of the season, especially if they continue their league form and struggle and drop out of a Champions League spot? Then
that's the big.
We may actually see what I thought was impossible for so long, a new head coach at Arsenal.
It could happen. Eddie, listen, we got a hard break. I got to head out. Thank you, as always, for coming on. I look forward to seeing you. And we're getting close, buddy. Looking forward to Seattle coming to town and getting back in that booth.
Thanks for having me, Glenn. I'll see you soon.
All right. That's Eddie Robinson. Former Dynamo defender weighing in as always, and always appreciate Eddie coming on the show. Got to take a break. We'll come back. We've got an interview with Darren Powell of San Antonio FC, and I think we're going to try to potentially sneak in my good friend in Munich, Germany, Sal Mitha. So a couple of good things to come here as we return. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Don't forget the King's Court, 903 Hutchins, right by the south side of the stadium. It's right on the corner. Killer British pub food, Indian food, rooftop view of downtown. Go down there, say hello to Jay. It is a great spot. It is the King's Court 903 Hutchins. Also, over in the Rice Village, it's 5555 Morningside. It is the Gorgeous Gale over there. Get over there, say hello to Peter. That is the Irish pub feel. And then in Midtown, you go down there and you say hello to Raymond. It is Bar Munich in Midtown. And go over there and say hello to Raymond. These are three great spots for watching soccer. Also, Richmond Arms, Houston's premier soccer pub, the King's Head and Richmond Arms, designed and built with soccer in mind. We'll take a break.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. To Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We roll on a Wednesday. And a lot going on here. A quick moment here now for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com. Just call 713-322-HURT. Whether your accident is car, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler, it doesn't matter. The Daspit Law Firm will assure you they'll treat your case as if it's their own. It's DaspitLaw.com, working for you 24-7, nights and weekends. Fight for your right for compensation with the Daspit Law Firm. 713-322-HURT. And with that, well, we all know there's a lot of noise going on around in Major League Soccer with the potential of expansion. And one of the teams that is always in there is San Antonio FC right now. And there's a lot of thoughts on how that would make a wonderful little triangle here in Texas with FC Dallas and the Houston Dynamo. But right now, San Antonio FC, they are getting ready to launch their season in the USL. And joining us right now, their head coach, Darren Powell. Darren, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Glenn. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's, well, we're always interested in what's going on with San Antonio FC and what's going on down the road in the beautiful city of San Antonio. Just set out to me what sort of are the objectives this year for the club, because I know a lot of what you're doing sometimes gets overshadowed by the fact that, you know, there's such an attempt for San Antonio to get into Major League Soccer at some point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, last year was we had such a short window to put a team together. So it was very important we started to, you know, just lay a foundation, make sure we set a good culture and, you know, make sure the team was going in the right direction throughout the season. And I thought the group of players that we had, we set ourselves some goals and we fell a little short by not making the playoffs. But ultimately, those players worked extremely hard in short space of time and we did a decent job to put San Antonio on the map and made sure we were competitive in every single game. This year, you know, again, I don't think our goals are going to change too drastically. We obviously want to show progression and, you know, to show progression, we want to make sure we're in and around the playoffs and in the playoffs, basically. And then from there, you know, at the end of the season, once you're in the playoffs, you know, anything can happen based on several different scenarios. So hopefully we can get into that end of year playoffs and then make a run at it.
Your first game, March 26th, against the Rio Grande Valley Toros, ironically enough. How set is your roster right now? You got a lot of time to get prepared for that game at the end of March. Tell me kind of what's going on with your roster right now.
Yeah, we've got about 21 guys signed right now, and you know, we're still looking for one or two more pieces, and we've got several guys on trial right now as well that seem to be doing a good job. So, you know, we'll give them a couple of preseason games and then make some final decisions. But, you know, we managed to secure a lot of the players that we wanted back from last year's team and last year's roster, and then able to add some key pieces along the way where we felt we needed to improve. And a lot of our improvement was based on, you know, experience in the league, understanding the league, and then, you know, players being durable to be able to compete, you know, each week.
You have a number of guys, and especially one we all know here in Houston, Jason Johnson, who's represented Jamaica, last played with the Chicago Fire, did play here in Houston. How's Jason been doing in San Antonio?
Jason's actually, he's with Arizona this year.
Oh, okay.
So Jason got off to a fantastic start with us last year, and, you know, he scored a couple of goals early. And then, you know, he battled hard throughout the year and then got an opportunity to join his former coach, Frank Yallop, at Arizona. So he's now with Arizona this year, the new club there, or the Phoenix Rising club. But then we picked up Sebastian Nibiaga, who, you know, you guys are probably
correct,
pretty familiar with in Houston. And he's come in. He had a really good game, first game of preseason. And, you know, we've got some high expectations for him within our season. Defensively, he's looked solid in the first week, so we're excited that we're able to have him from Houston.
And we've had your head man, Tim Holt, on a lot, and I do remember when the Scorpions were in San Antonio, they laid some good groundwork. It's been carried on by San Antonio FC. You know, how much work does this team have to do in the community? And when you talk to your players, you know, is it just about coaching for you, Darren, or is it about kind of spreading the lore of the game in San Antonio and making sure that these guys understand that they have to get out in the community and sell a game as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it's very important, you know, that the Scorpions did a good job prior to the Spurs taking over the organization. And, you know, it's, you know, you look at...
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
They can't find a way forward. They revert back to Alonso to start the process a different route. Robin. Should be allowing him to go on in his favoured left foot. Coupling allows him to go past him, take nothing away from the finish. It's exquisite. But how do you afford space and time for a guy like that on his left foot when he can do that to you? You're asking for trouble.
He was up for the moment on the day, Arjen Robben, 33 years of age. It was an absolute beatdown. Arsenal getting smacked 5-1 at the Allianz Arena in Munich, Germany today in the Champions League. The goals were raining in. Real Madrid 3-1 over Napoli after falling behind 1-0. That at Napoli. That was at the Bernabeu. The last 2 days we've seen just a ridiculous amount of goals. Paris Saint-Germain 4-0 over Barcelona on Tuesday as well. But we did talk about Bayern Munich, 5-1 over Arsenal. It's put in the minds now of what is going to happen with Arsene Wenger, the manager of Arsenal. Let's go out to a man who was at this game in Germany. He's with Talking Fußball. Sal Mitha attended the 5-1 Bayern Munich win over the one and only Arsenal.
Yeah, it was a tremendous game at the beginning. You thought that, I mean, of course, the result was what we saw it was, but at the beginning, it was clear Bayern were the attacking team, the crisper team, the fresh team. It felt like it, and looking back, Arsenal were just playing for the counter. They were hoping for a mistake by Bayern, and they would attack. So they would do the counter, attack on the counter, which they were able to do a little bit in the first half, and that's what ended up they were able to take advantage of it, you know, getting that penalty, and they got that opportunity. But in the second half, Bayern removed all their mistakes, and I just felt like the matches were played, and I think the possession stat showed it was always played on the Arsenal goal. And the first half was on my side. I just felt like the grass was being worn out right in front of my eyes. And then on the second half, all the action was the second side. So Bayern came out hungry. They wanted to attack, which I really appreciate. This is what they did against Atletico Madrid, even though the group was lost. They played that way, and then they did that against Leipzig to make sure they won the fall championship. So I saw the same Bayern tonight attacking, fresher legs, and just had a game plan, and the other team just... We're hoping for Bayern to make a mistake, but you didn't see that, Glenn, and you saw the final 5-1.
Yeah, this was an absolute demolition of Arsenal in this one. Let me just take you into the Champions League. Does it look to you like they just hit a different gear when they're in Champions League play?
Yes. When they're in the Bundesliga, and it's just surprising to me that the local media, the German media, are talking about, oh, you know, Leipzig, they're playing well, or if it's a Dortmund or a Schalke, they're thinking that they have a chance against Bayern. Of course you hit a different gear because you're playing top class. And this is where, you know, from even before Pep Guardiola, from Jupp Heynckes, but during the Pep Guardiola years, and I think that looking back, even though he didn't win a Champions League title, he built this team to play well. And, you know, if it wasn't for those three Spanish teams to beat them, I think Bayern would have been in the finals all those years. And they just play well on the international level. They have the players. They keep, you know, developing. Honestly, David Alaba has been the Austrian Football of the Year. But to watch him play and become who he is, it's no surprise to me that Philipp Lahm has decided that it's time for him to go, time to retire, because that backfield is in great shape with someone like a David Alaba, just unbelievable. And if it isn't Lewandowski, they're going to find another world-class striker. And I don't know how they're going to fight. Are they going to replace Robin? The guy has been unbelievable in Champions League. He hits another gear, especially against English teams. He ends up being the best player on the pitch.
Yeah, he played like a man on fire today, 33 years of age, Arjen Robben, and was helping lead the way. And as always, we're fortunate because we get it straight from a guy who was at the game, witnessed it live. He's also a journalist for Talking Fußball. He's the one and only Sal Mitha. Sal, thank you for coming on the program.
My pleasure, Glenn. Always a pleasure.
So it went like this. Robben in the 11th minute got Bayern off and running. Alexis Sanchez would tie things up in the 30th. So at halftime, it was 1-1. Bayern should have been up. Sanchez went to the penalty spot after a really weird penalty call on Lewandowski, who is about to side volley a ball out of the box. Somebody extends their legs in front of him, and he takes a swing at trying to clear this ball and makes contact, and they give a penalty. I don't think it was a penalty. Sanchez gets denied from the penalty spot. Neuer makes the save. His first attempt on the rebound, he can't put home. His second attempt, he does. So that put him in the locker room at 1-1, and that was kind of a lifeline. They got a real opportunity to remain in this game, and then they just absolutely got blitzed in the second half. Lewandowski in the 53rd, Thiago in the 56th and 63rd. It was over at this point. And then Thomas Müller, for good measure, in the 88th, who, by the way, Manchester United still hot on his trail. Absolutely throwing all kinds of money, over £100 million being thrown at Thomas Müller. So it ends Bayern Munich 5-1. This is round of 16. Bayern Munich 74% of the possession in this thing. Just dominant. Just dominant like they normally are. And again, they're one of the favorites to potentially win this. I mean, look at the names on this team. Manuel Neuer, Mats Hummels, Javi Martinez, David Alaba. You heard Salman Mitha talking about how well Alaba's been playing. Philip Lahm, Thiago, Arturo Vidal, Xabi Alonso, Lewandowski, and subbed on is Thomas Müller, believe it or not. Douglas Costa has been a great signing for Bayern. He got replaced by Kimmich, who's also a talented player. Robin, and then who subs in for him? Rafinha. Guys who don't get in the game, like Renato Sanchez and Juan Bernat. So it's pretty unbelievable the depth of Bayern Munich's roster. Lots of things going on in the world of soccer. We did touch on the Dynamo got their first MLS competition. I'm not getting too excited about it yet. These are times for players and coaches. And quite frankly, in MLS, you can use the first 10 games of the year to continue to figure out your team and your chemistry and a lot of things because it is a forgiving league. That being said, if you're 19th out of 20 teams like the Dynamo were last year, you do want to get off to a good start. You do want to put in the minds of people on opening day, March 4th against the Seattle Sounders with Will Bruun coming back to town, you want people to be optimistic based on your performance that day. You only get one opening match of the year, and the Dynamo want to make sure that, you know, it is one that will bring fans back. And I think with the look of this roster, the competitive nature from top to bottom in all lines of the team, more pace, more youth, it's all got to be brought together now by Wilmer Cabrera. And I think it's a time of optimism right now. Cautious optimism, I think, is the word. And you got to be careful. You know, it's almost tough to say anybody had a good season when, you know, you're 19th out of 20. I mean, I think we do have to be in reality. But I have no doubt in my mind the Dynamo are going to be a better team this year, are going to be a more entertaining team this year. They've got players that have a lot to prove. They also have a lot of foreign signings that are going to have to adjust and adapt to this league. I don't think there's any question. But I think their guys at Wilmer Cabrera thinks is going to very quickly adapt to this league. So Arsenal collapses against Bayern today. Real Madrid, after conceding an amazing goal to Napoli, then just ease on through with a 3-1 win. We mentioned the Manchester United bid for Thomas Müller. Minnesota United has picked up Josh Gatt, a U.S. international. comes from Molde in the Norwegian First Division. So Minnesota continuing to build their roster. They're going about it in a different way than they are down in Atlanta, who, by the way, has already sold 27,000 season tickets. Atlanta's going to have 40,000 people at their opener. Arthur Blank went out and hired former Barcelona and former Argentina coach Tata Martino. Bought a couple of designated players. It's going to be very interesting to see these teams, and I think it spices up 2017 for me. Any comments? 713-780-3776. New York City FC in Major League Soccer has signed a designated player, Maximiliano Morales. He was announced on Wednesday. He's an Argentine international. He will join players like David Villa and Andrea Pirlo. So Patrick Vieira is continuing to go with a lot of experience. Morales has played in Argentina, Russia, and Italy, León in Mexico. So he will be at New York City FC, who is still continuing to stockpile and go about building their team through the buying of players in a lot of cases here. So pretty interesting. U.S. women, rumor they're going to be coming to our city. Potentially, I heard this on the street in April. They unveiled a new Nike uniform today, which is it's got a very bold red. And I want to thank my good friend at Nike, Joe Elsmore, who's a big shot at Nike. Joe sent down a bunch of soccer balls that we're going to be distributing to kids at Texas Children's Hospital. As many of you may or may not know, I go there once or twice a month, and we visit patients and their families and try to take their minds off treatment and things that they're going through. And soccer balls go a long way. But more importantly, the two people that go with me, Freddie Reyes and Eileen Dowd, who are both cancer survivors from down at Texas Children's, they go a long way. And I can't tell you how honored I am to go down there with those two. All right, that's going to wrap it up tonight for producer Tyler Scott. My good friend Victor, sitting here in studio. Appreciate all of Victor's help. Does a lot with helping us get the word out about the show and all those great, what do we call those, Victor? You build those beautiful graphics of all the guests on our show. Is there a name for that? Promo material, but he's incredibly talented young guy. Our thanks to Alexi Lalas, Eddie Robinson, all the guests on the program, Darren Powell, Andrew Wenger, Wilmer Cabrera. Appreciate Sal Mitha as well. PodcastArena.com. Brad Davis, we thank him. Tomorrow he's going to be honored at 1 o'clock. PodcastArena.com is where you get the podcasts. My thanks to all of you for listening, tuning in, and paying attention. Facebook, Soccer Matters. Good night.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
The Spurs Sports and Entertainment Group, you know, the work they do within the community, the Silver and Black, and there's lots of things that they do with all their franchise, from the basketball to the ice hockey, to soccer now. But what we talk about with the players is, you know, we want them to get out in the community. Our fan base is very good. They're very supportive. You know, they're very active. And we want to grow that fan base. And the current team and the players' responsibility is to help grow that. And we can do that through several different organizations, from youth to older fans, and some of the military, some of our guys have got involved with as well, the different various groups, and when we talk to the players, they understand that we want good characters, team players that will basically, you work for the club, yes, you play, but there's a responsibility with that, and to help grow the game in the community and grow this opportunity, so maybe one day San Antonio FC can get in the MLS. And, you know, the players will all have played their part to make that happen, both on and off the field.
He's San Antonio FC head coach Darren Powell joining us here on ESPN 97.5 here tonight. And we do appreciate it. Thank you so much, Darren, for coming on. Also, if you talk about coaching in the USL, there is a lot of roster turnover. And you know, it's not easy to get a level of consistency. And that's a real challenge for a coach, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it certainly is. And look, you know, the good thing about the USL, I think it's a vibrant league. I think it's very exciting. And, you know, you just see the quality of the league improving each year. And it comes from several different angles, because you have some of the MLS 2 teams where they're, you know, grooming their academy players, if you like, to play first-team football. So that's exciting. So you get some guys that are on the way up in terms of US soccer, in terms of MLS, where these guys are passing through the USL. And then you've got other guys that have been in the MLS. They've experienced that. And, you know, now they're playing in the USL and they realize, you know, it's a high level and they have to perform week in, week out to maybe get another opportunity at the MLS or just to keep maintaining, you know, the professional dream, if you like, in the USL. So it's become real competitive. I think the standard's getting higher and higher. And I think it's exciting for soccer fans. If your team's not in the MLS, you know, you have a USL team in your market, I think it becomes, you know, a good opportunity for fans to see some good level of play week in, week out. And I think those fan bases are growing across the country.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And I would just continue to preach as well that, you know, each one of these teams has somebody who owns a team with ideas and vision and is trying to grow the sport in their community. They have staffs, they have players, they have coaches. It opens up a lot of opportunities for people in the world of soccer.
Yeah, it certainly does. And, you know, as a club, San Antonio FC, what we're looking to do is, you know, we started our academy. We started at U12 and wanted to grow that organically. So next year we've just been accepted into the US Soccer Academy there with the age groups of U14, U13 and U12. And it's something we're very excited by, but as you say, it presents opportunities to bring a couple more staff, into the club and into the organisation. And, you know, what we're looking at doing with our staff is, that, you know, obviously having them integrated into the first team as well. So these guys will work within the academy, but also have roles and responsibilities with the first team. Not necessarily on the grass every day, but, you know, maybe a little bit of scouting or some video analysis, but all tied into the first team, and then obviously working in the evenings in the academy.
Just for the listeners out there, Darren Powell, by the way, has got an extensive resume here. Head coach Greensboro College, assistant coach University of North Carolina Greensboro, then went on to be the head coach at Elon. And he was a big part of Orlando City's academy, directing that. So you just saw that whole birth of Orlando City in Major League Soccer and that amazing atmosphere down there. I actually had the opportunity once to come down there and call a game, and I think there was 50,000 people. It was the day Orlando City upset L.A.
4-0?
Yeah, absolutely crushed them.
I remember it.
Yeah, it was quite the day, and Tally Hall, the former Dynamo, was in goal for Orlando City. But I look at your background here, and then I look also to Nottingham, England. So Brian Clough must mean something to you, right?
Yeah, Brian Clough is probably one of my heroes. And, you know, growing up, I was a schoolboy in Nottingham Forest youth system. So like an academy player, if you like. But we're called schoolboys in those days. And Brian Clough was the first team manager and, you know, had a massive impact on the way I view the game. He would give young players a chance and, you know, didn't give me that chance, but you're around it enough. And when the apprentices used to go away as a schoolboy, we got to go and do the apprentices' jobs, if you like, and be around the first team and be around Brian Clough. And, you know, the side that people didn't see about Brian Clough was how kind he was as well. And it was just amazing. I was always in awe of him and certainly somebody that had a massive impact on the way I view soccer, especially with younger players coming through and how he created a real good club culture. And, that was always very fortunate to have seen that.
And he was a part of that remarkable back-to-back European Cups. Just remarkable.
I got to go to both of those games with my dad as well. So that was I thought the European Cup was going to be Nottingham Forest for years, and I didn't realize how wrong I could be.
Unbelievable. I always loved the logo of Forest too. Just
the tree.
Yeah. I just thought it was just a great logo they had. And some of the players I remember, Larry Lloyd. I mean, just so many different, the big center back, Trevor Francis, right?
Trevor Francis, the winner in the first European Cup final.
John McGovern, all those great players. Well, listen, I don't want to take you too deep into Nottingham because it's all about San Antonio FC right now. Darren, listen, really appreciate you coming on the show. Best of luck in this upcoming USL season. You open it up at the end of March against the Rio Grande Valley Toros. And thank you very much for coming on. We'll have you on again, too.
Well, I appreciate that, and thank you for having me, Glenn.
All right, that's Darren Powell, the head man down at San Antonio FC. And if there's an off weekend for the Dynamo, make the run down to San Antonio. It's a beautiful stadium, beautiful place to have a weekend. But I'm putting my money on San Antonio ultimately getting into Major League Soccer, and that's what we want, I think, here in Houston. I think the Dynamo and FC Dallas are certainly rooting for it. All right, we'll take a break. All right, Red Army, Bayou City Blues. These are two great supporters groups in Houston. Sportsman's Dinner Evening. Now, Norman Whiteside played for Manchester United, Northern Ireland. He's coming over. Bobby Tambling is one of the all-time leading goal scorers at Chelsea. Both of these gentlemen are going to be here in Houston. Dinner raffle auction. It's Friday, June 16th at 6:30. Tickets are $135. Hosted by Tom Clare, Jesus Martinez. It benefits the 501c charity Curing Children's Cancer Fund. You know how passionate I am about fighting pediatric cancer. I'm going to be there as well. It's going to be a big night. Facebook group / Houston Red Army for information. Facebook groups / Houston Red Army. And again, I'll remind you about John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Personal injury attorneys. Oh, the Sex Pistols probably needed a few personal injury attorneys at the time. They bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-4878. Whether your accident is car, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, the Daspit Law Firm is going to assure you they'll treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com. Daspit Law Firm, working for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Fight for your right for compensation with the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Taking a break, and when we come back, we go to Munich, Germany.
ESPN 97.5.